for an adult audience. Love Line may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, buddy, it's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce. You know him as Dr. Spaz, filling in for Dr. Drew, who's in Canada working on the Olsen twins simultaneously. Dr. Spaz.
Hey.
Sorry, Dr. Bruce is board certified. He's are you an addiction medicine specialist?
Absolutely. I cover for Drew sometimes even.
I know, but okay.
What's the issue?
Is it the sugar? You just put 14 sugars in your coffee. Well, talk about addiction.
Has Drew put you on a serotonin reuptake inhibitor? You're obsessed with this. Just leave it alone.
Do you know what it's like to watch an adult male in his 40s crack open 14 sugar packets and dump it in a 4.5 to 5 ounce cup of coffee? It's not like you just left the 7-Eleven with the 72 ounce big Java gulp or something. You got about 3 thimbles full of coffee in this cup.
I'll avoid this behavior.
You know, many, you're literally 5 to 6 ounces in this cup.
But I can handle it. I can handle the sugar and the caffeine without
spazzing. You'll start spazzing.
No, it won't happen. But may I make the point that this is no different than a soft drink. Do you drink soft drinks?
No.
Yes. 26 grams of carbohydrate and 12 to 14 teaspoons of sugar. And you'll sit there and slurp down how many during a football game?
40 or 50.
Yeah, at least.
Look, first off, I don't drink soft drinks. On occasion, I drink a diet soft drink if somebody sort of hands it to me and it's the only thing around.
Oh, please. I don't accept that.
What, do I got one in my hand right now? Jackass? You ever seen me drinking one? No, you haven't.
Wow,
Thank you.
I haven't seen
you
during masturbatory fantasy either. I don't really want to know many
Look,
of these things.
Look, you've never seen me with a soft drink in my hand, so your point is crap.
How much carbohydrate is in a beer? I've seen you with a beer in your hand.
I'm not talking about carbs. I'm just talking about the adolescent process of dumping hundreds of sacks of sugar into your coffee. I mean, do you realize that you probably drink 4 or 5 cups a day? I mean, over the course of 2 weeks, you drink 1,500 packets of sugar.
No, I alternate it with sweet and low. So I only put 6 sweet and low.
Okay, but I'm saying there are other people in other countries who don't have sugar. Could you let them have some? Jesus Christ, and it's free, too.
Let them eat crumbs there.
I mean, do you realize that you probably consume about $40 worth of free sugar?
Sugar's actually very cheap, so I get that big...
I know. What else is one of the staples in your diet? The ketchup
All
packets?
All the food groups.
Ketchup packet, little packets,
no. You know, the kids in the drug programs, they'd eat the Coffee Mate packets. Now, that I could never understand. They just open them up and eat the white.
Just dump them?
Wait, in their mouth.
They get a high or what?
No, it's just, it's anything that's
powdery?
An intense stimulation or white powder. I don't know. I never did figure that one out, but it's a fatty substance of some sort.
All right, we're done talking. Dr. Bruce, board certified addiction medicine specialist, emergency medicine specialist. He's the guy you want around when that piece of rebar impales you. And also,
the laser.
Does the laser work? InkOnInkOff.com.
Right, or DrBruce.com goes to that now.
Yeah, you get those tats removed via Dr. Bruce's laser.
Out at Tattoo Revolution in Redlands, the bass player for Boxcar Racer is a tattoo artist out there. Isn't that interesting? And he was telling me interesting stuff about when he was on Loveline.
Let me explain something. When you finish your own stories with "Isn't that interesting?" It's usually
not a good question.
Usually
not
a good interesting.
Thing, yeah.
The public will deem what is interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
I get the message.
Sometimes you take a beat and you go fascinating. it'll jar people into thinking it's.
I like Drew's actually. Profound. Profound's a great word.
Yeah. Kurt.
Yes.
You're 23.
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Okay. A couple of weeks ago, the girl who I was engaged to, I found out she was cheating on me. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways that she, I guess let me start over, one of the things that I found out or witnessed was a videotape of her and another guy. And now I have...
How'd you find that tape? How'd you find the tape?
Her best friend.
Came over and provided it for you?
No, there's a lot of detail to it, but I don't know if you have the time to hear it.
Well, I probably don't. But
now, concentration would be more the issue.
But here's the thing. She made this tape with him recently.
Yes.
And how much of this tape did you view?
Enough of it to make me very sick.
Okay. Well, here's the deal. And do you know the guy?
Yes, I do.
Is he a friend of yours?
Well, he is now. And that, like I said, there's a lot of detail, but he is
now. He is now.
Yeah.
So before he was effing your fiance,
I didn't know about the guy. He didn't know about me either.
Oh, okay. He didn't know. Okay, so So your girl's sociopath. She was lying to you, lying to him.
Right.
How would he know?
There's a third guy in the picture, but that's beside the point.
All right. So Kurt, let me explain what's happening. You need to not get married. You need to break up. Have you done that?
Yes, I've already done that.
Okay. Well,
so you're going through a grieving process. There's a real loss there, and you must be horribly upset. I mean, that's
well. What's going on is now that this is locked in my head, I can't. You know, I don't sleep now because I dream about this. I can't masturbate because if I do, I start having a panic attack because I think about it. I can't watch porn because I start having a panic attack because I have these audio memories and these visual memories of her, and it's just freaking me out. And
I'm the same way. I can't watch porn. Panic attack.
Do I know?
Yeah. Hey, hold on a second. Kurt, this question sounds a little too well put together.
Yeah.
It sounds a little too well constructed and planned. I'm wondering, I don't know. He's kind
of. You don't want to say bogus, but it does seem a little bit suspicious. He's going right to your. He's going right to things that he thinks you'd really
relate. But you kind of want to say bogus. Kurt.
No. I've been trying to call for days about this.
Okay, well, let me tell you something what a normal 23-year-old guy would do. And I understand. You've had your heart broken. But do you still have the tape?
No, I don't.
That's too bad, because that is prime jacking. I mean, once you guys are broken up, that's prime jack material.
Listen, when you're considering marriage is, you know, it's one of the main steps you take in life and commitment. And
second
having,
only to buying a used car.
Or a new sports car for you. But it would be normal with this kind of an emotional trauma to be depressed. And when you're depressed, you have anhedonia. You're not. Nothing is going to make you happy that normally does, and things that you usually enjoy, which in your case sounds like masturbation and pornography are at the top of the list, would be things that would hold no pleasure during a period of depression.
Well, he has a situational depression, and
these things usually pass, recognizing that it just takes time. If it gets to the point where you're losing weight, you're not eating, you have what we call vegetative signs of depression, then you need to seek professional help.
Right. Till then, exercise and classical music. And
listen to Love
14
Line.
Packs of sugar.
Enjoy Adam Schumer.
With every thimble full of coffee.
Might help.
Natalie?
Yeah.
You're 14?
Yeah, I am.
What's up?
Okay. So the other night, I think it was Monday night, like, I have an ex-boyfriend named Jake, and, we broke up, like, 2 weeks ago, and he called me and asked me, like, if I wanted to hang out, and so I, like, snuck out of my house at, like, 2 to go hang out with him, and, like, he was smoking and stuff, and so I smoked with him, and, it ended up turning out that him and his friend did stuff to me when I was, like, really messed up.
What'd they do?
Him and his friend both fingered me and were feeling me up and, like, taking my clothes off and stuff.
Mm-hmm. And the one guy was your ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
And the other guy you didn't have any interest in ever.
No.
How old are these guys?
My ex-boyfriend is 6 months older than me, so he's 14, and the other one was 16 or 17.
Mm-hmm. I put homing beacons on these two punks when I'm in charge.
Homing beacons?
Yeah, I'm going to keep them in charge. Well, with explosive charges.
With
if they ever get out of line, I just push a button and that's it. Hey, Natalie.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you're raped or assaulted sexually?
Yeah, I don't know, though.
Well, yes, you were assaulted sexually. And
well, I don't know. I mean, why? Because she was high?
Well, I mean, let's face it. These guys, the ex-boyfriend, he knows what her history of drugs is. She hadn't used much pot in the past?
Not a lot. And I haven't smoked pot in like 6 months.
Yeah.
He knows you well enough to know what would happen, what your reaction would be. You'd have to assume it was a planned thing.
Well, look, hold on a second. When you call a girl at 2 a.m. and say, you know, and have her sneak out of her window, I mean, the gears have already started turning.
Not in her mind, though. She's 14. Very immediate, very impulsive.
Are you a virgin, Natalie?
No.
Not anymore.
Well, no, why not? I mean, did he have sex with you?
Yeah, not that night, but...
Right.
Well, he tried.
Right, okay, but did you tell him to stop at any point?
Well, he was telling me, my ex-boyfriend Jake was telling me, oh, God.
Why do you keep saying his name?
Liar, liar, whore, liar, whore, and you know it.
Yeah, I think that's
But
Anderson
I keep saying
there.
His name? Hmm. I don't know.
Because she's 14. Listen, you were...
Well, listen, it's always a little weird, and it's one of the earmarks of Bogosity,
right.
Although I don't think this one is, but it's weird when they keep mentioning the person's name.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. You're the expert in that area.
All right, so listen. Here's the thing. I mean, let's be realistic here. You told him to stop or not?
I told his friend to stop because his friend was doing stuff first. He was pressuring me into do stuff with his friend, and I was just like...
Oh, yeah. It is a horrible situation. It doesn't really matter. The point is, especially the older guy, there's two of them. They knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
You've been violated, and unfortunately... being 14, it's hard to have the consequential thinking. I mean, you know, a lot of adults will say, well, if you do this, this is going to happen. And they'll say, you know, you might be thinking that if you tell somebody, they're going to say, well, you're just stupid. And I'll tell you right now, as a clinician and other clinicians out there would feel the same way I do. It's not that you're stupid. You were taken advantage of. And even though Adam would say, well, you're going out 2 a.m. smoking pot with two guys, what do you think's going to happen? That's not the way your brain works at that age. And you need to get talk to somebody. Is there somebody you can talk to about this?
Well, I have a therapist, yeah.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
All right, talk to the therapist about it.
Well, can you talk to the therapist in the next 24 hours?
No.
Why not?
I don't have therapy with her till I think Saturday.
Well, is there a responsible adult you can talk to, like at school, a counselor?
Ah, just spill
it's a serious thing.
Saturday.
It really shouldn't wait. This type of thing is very serious, and it's the type of thing where people get post-traumatic stress and PTSD over.
So, Natalie, do you feel like you're raped?
Yeah.
Well, she was raped, whether or not there was penetration, as far as I'm concerned.
No, it's not necessary. She wasn't necessarily raped, you know?
She was violated, so...
I think she was violated, but a lot of people have been... I mean, that doesn't really hold up in court, you know? I'm trying to think if there's a legal issue to this whole thing.
Well, I'm least concerned about that. I'm most concerned about Natalie getting some help.
Okay. So, you go to school? Are you back in school yet?
Yeah, I'm in school.
Oh, talk about... All right.
Listen, you know, the other thing you can do on the... do you have access to the internet?
Oh, Jesus.
No, listen. Hey.
I should. Hey, don't turn on.
Hello?
Yeah, my sister's trauma radio.
Do you have access to the internet?
We should be getting access soon, yeah.
Well, that's not it. I mean, tonight. You really need to talk to somebody tonight. And there are 800 numbers. We'll get you one. You're going to listen to the show. I'll get one during the break.
All right, so hang on. All right, listen, I agree with that.
Yeah,
I mean,
the legal
I don't
issue,
know what's
right.
going on.
You're right in the legal issue, but as far as the emotional issue goes, she was violated. These guys are dirtbags. They, you know, I mean, listen, you know what they were thinking.
Bruce didn't get anything in high school, so he gets almost violent with those who do.
No, well, I wouldn't want to get it that way anyway. That's just...
No. I mean, me neither. No, but here's what I'm saying. She's 14. She's not a virgin. She's already slept with this guy. She's sneaking out of the window at 2 a.m. and smoking weed. I'm not saying, oh, you deserve what you get kind of thing. I'm just saying... Whatever violation began with Natalie, that started some years ago.
She was victimized some years ago, and then this boyfriend probably victimized her. I don't care if he's 6 months older. You know.
Yeah, listen, he's a little prick, and I'm sure. I just like to find guys like that's parents and give him a good, nice, swift kick in the coos. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, don't you want to just get hold? You just want to get hold of all the parents of the horrible people on Earth and go, "You've done a pathetic job. You should hang your head in shame." Do you know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely.
And especially the ones that get real defensive about their kids and their horrible kids, especially when they're murderers and stuff, and they're like, "We love you anyway." I hate that. I want them to just get up there and disown them immediately.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'd have a little respect. I'd do that. You know, you see, it's like they do that all the time. Like, you know, you got Jeffrey Dahmer's parents, and they're like going, "We don't condone what he did, and we have sympathy for the victims and their families, but he's our son." And it's like, whoa, what, really? What point do you just cut the ties?
Yeah, standing behind the kids is good to a point. But the boys probably, you know, there's a dad that victimized.
What do you mean? 14-year-old guys don't have to be victimized. I just need just
This is way over the line.
Just a little absent parenting. A little latchkey action. Mindy?
Hello?
Yeah?
Yeah, I sort of have this problem.
Are you drunk?
No. The reason my voice is like it is because I'm recovering from I'm a DUI survivor.
What, you got an accident?
Everybody was drunk and high but me, and I got the worst of it.
Yeah.
They didn't get anything. I think the one guy got three stitches in his arm. I got a traumatic brain injury.
All right. I got to go. Hold on. I got to go to hell.
All right.
One second. Okay, Bruce. I'm going to go to hell. I'm going to need you to cover the next several thousand shows.
Oh, no problem.
Contract's up in about a year. It's about 210 shows, 230 shows.
Did I get your cars, too?
Yeah, that's my manager's gonna have to whack that stuff up, but I gotta go.
Okay, traumatic brain injury.
Yeah,
but no, it's a very important thing to talk about.
No, it is. I know. I called her drunk. You know what I mean? There's nothing.
No, well, frontal lobe issues.
Yeah, I feel bad, Mindy.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're all in a car and you're joyriding, and somebody's drunk, and you're the only one who's not drunk.
September 15th, 2001.
September 15th, 2001.
On my sister's birthday.
Okay. And you guys, somebody was drunk, and you're out joyriding.
Yeah.
You weren't drunk.
He's sitting in jail.
He's still in jail.
Yeah, but he's supposedly getting out soon. But that's not what I wanted to ask you.
Well, it's too late. We got to talk about that for a second.
Okay.
Why is he in jail? Like vehicular? Manslaughter, reckless endangerment, or something like that?
I think it's along the lines of, like, reckless endangerment.
And did anybody die?
No. Just the one guy had three stitches in his arm, and they got out of the car, tried to hide the alcohol, and luckily everybody in that area knows my mother, so they told the police where the alcohol was hidden.
Well, but weren't you hanging out with these guys? Like, how did you get in the car?
I have no idea why I got in the car that night. Even the one passenger told me I wasn't gonna go with them.
But you were 16 at the time.
No, she was 16. I was 18.
Did you know these guys?
They were like more like acquaintances.
Okay, well, how has this changed your life? I mean, how are you doing now? Because traumatic, even a minor brain injury, we found.
Well,
has...
actually, I'm doing pretty good. I went to college after my accident, and it's all there. I lost no memory, no short-term, long-term, nothing. And I comprehend everything, so.
And your ability to.
Well, they said, 2 years? For the majority to come back, 5 years for maximum.
All right.
So, and, considering, they in the beginning they said I wouldn't live, and then they said I'd be a vegetable, and this is where I am.
Hold on 1 second. I always talk to Drew about this. Did doctors just make those sort of freewheeling negative proclamations that people tell us all the time? You're not going to live, and if you do, you're gonna live your life in this box.
No, actually, way back when, there's a famous article in the New England Journal of Medicine.
Which makes me think it's bogus.
They call it hanging black crepe.
Yeah.
And really what you want to do is you're within a window of accuracy where you emphasize the negative possibilities, which, in other words, you don't want to create hope where there's a brain injury like this, which she's describing. Most people don't do. I mean, it's very rare.
Yeah, but I mean, here's what I'm saying. Do doctors say you're probably not going to live, or do they say there's a chance you may not live? Do you know what I'm saying? I think people hear it as the worst scenario.
Right. No, and doctors...
are they that far off that they just... And listen, I got so much ego.
I know where you're going with this.
If I was a doctor and I announced the patient was probably not going to make it through the... I would kill him.
Yeah.
You know, just to be right. Like, I would sneak in and pull the plug on something and be like, well, he's dead. But I was right. Remember I said he wouldn't make it through the night?
Well, that would go with your malignant narcissism. That would
Thank
be right
you.
Along with that.
All right, so, Mindy.
Yeah. Well, I did die twice, so they brought me back twice.
Did you see any light or anything?
I don't remember it, but supposedly I was telling my mom about seeing a person and everything.
Wow. Okay, so these... let me ask you something. Do you fear death as much as you did before, or not at all?
No, I used to fear death. Now I really don't.
Tell me
what you learned about. What's your recommendation to people? Your advice on what to do when you're getting in the car with people that are drinking?
Best idea is don't get in the car because I supposedly was screaming and hollering for him to let me out of the car, and he wouldn't. And then.
Who told you that?
Was yelling at him and had my face turned towards him. If I wouldn't have had my face turned towards him, I would have broke my neck. It would have killed me instantly.
She doesn't remember. How do you remember any of that? She doesn't. She said someone told her that.
Well, no one knows who was. What?
Well, someone in the car may have had a memory for what happened. She said.
Well, they did a reenactment, and because of the way
the
I was positioned.
Excellent.
The way I was positioned.
All right, so the guy's in jail, and your brain function's coming back.
Yep.
And now you're with a guy.
I'm sort of in between.
In between guys.
Yeah, because that's what I wanted to ask about.
Yeah.
I've always had, a real likeness in sex before the accident and after it, intensified that I'm lonely all the time.
Well,
more of a... Are you more interested in sex than you were before?
Because
there is a syndrome after head injury in which you have hypersexuality. The various things that can happen with a head injury that have... Yeah. Real profound effects, but they're not obviously...
What happened to Tyson, actually.
But is there a certain amount of time? Because, I have a boyfriend, and then I lose a boyfriend.
Is
there a certain amount of time that you have to make them wait till you have sex?
No. Okay, here's the thing. First off, when you're 20 and you're a girl, their boyfriends come, boyfriends go. That's just par for the course. That's not only for people that have survived head trauma.
Right.
But in terms of making the guy wait, Bruce and I would probably go back and forth on this a little bit, but it's up to you. It's up to your own sensibilities, values, morality, religion. All that stuff factors in, and then the guy factors in. There's some guys you trust, you know it's right, you've got a good vibe off them, and there's other guys that seem a little dicey, a little shady. They pull up in a Camaro, they're wearing a members-only jacket. They got their hairstyle like Dr. Bruce. You shouldn't. What's
your
going
fault?
On? What do you got going on? Let me feel that. Oh, my God.
It's your responsibility.
Okay. But waiting longer is probably better than rushing it.
Right.
Fine.
But
we got to go to break. That's enough out of you.
No, the interesting part of this
Nothing's
call
interesting
is
about you.
That she's asking these type of questions. What happens sometimes in a head injury is that the ability to make certain decisions based on attachment with the other person is affected by the head injury.
Right.
And I'm sure Drew's talked about this with head injuries because there's so much that's come to light. When people are knocked out in a football game, they found with testing of fine motor skills and some intellectual testing, even with minor head injuries, there are measurable deficits very frequently. So with a major head injury like this, it's going to affect relationships, ability to bond, attachment. And she really needs to see a therapist. There are therapists that specialize in post-head injury emotional problems.
Oh, thank you very much.
All right, let's take ourselves a little break. Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew.
Quite nicely.
I was going to say that, and then I thought about it.
I knew you were thinking
of it. I give an 8 on a scale of 0 to 100. It's a good 8. Eight and a half. No, 8.5. Ain't it? 8. 8.8.
It's statistically insignificant at that 0.8.
Oh, it is? I'm sorry. All right. Bruce is going to take a funnel, dump a 5-pound sack of CNA sugar in his mouth while I squeeze liquid corn syrup up his rectum. And we'll be back after this. Shut up with that screaming into the goddamn mic. I know I'm on. I'm yelling at you. Jeez, you can hear me. I'm going. Shut up.
Are we in the air?
Who cares? Anderson's screaming into that mic.
Jeez, what's he doing over there?
Screaming into a mic. That's what he's doing. He turns the jacks that pops the thing way up and screams into it. Hey, it's Loveline, everybody. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce. Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew. All right. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Busy Phillips is coming in here tomorrow night. She is from Dawson's Creek. She's that hot blonde chick. She's cute. Got a nice rack, nice smile. You know Busy Phillips is? And her name's Busy. That's a, you know, that's the kind of name where if you're hot, it's really hot.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. You know, it's interesting that you mention her physical attributes, but not her acting talent.
Well, she's a horrible actress. It's horrible. Didn't I say that?
I hope Anderson racks that up and plays it tomorrow.
I got it.
He will. Well, right now he's trying to think, does Adam want him to do that or not? Because if he doesn't want me to do it, I'll do it.
Right.
But
if,
dude, I love you. I do what you want me to do, Adam. I love
buddy.
You.
Who loves you, buddy? Come on now. Ashley?
Yeah?
You're 18?
Uh-huh.
What's up?
Well, okay. Last year, around February, I was with my boyfriend, and, like, we were serious or whatever, so I lost my virginity to him, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, until, like, last December, we've been having sex, and I never had an orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had sex with other people since then, but I've never had an orgasm, and I've tried everything.
Mm-hmm. You ever had one masturbating?
Well, yeah.
Oh, you have?
I think.
You think so?
Yeah, I'm not really sure.
Yeah, it can be a little confusing for women. I think the answer usually is you'd know it if you had it. Well, with women, they don't produce anything.
Well, with a vaginal orgasm sometimes.
They have to take their own word for it. Yeah, once in a while, but Ashley's not that person. Did the guy give you oral sex?
Yes, and everything.
Yeah, yeah, and no, ever get close that way?
Not an oral or sex. The closest has ever been has been fingering through clothes. So
fingering through clothes,
yes.
Huh? Interesting.
Yes.
All right. So look, here's the deal, Ashley. A certain percentage of women can do this. I'm trying to figure out what the breakdown is, but it's something like Bruce got his 30 packets of sugar, so he's got more
stick
sugar.
To the orgasm.
He's ready to go. Okay. All right. Certain women can have them very easily.
Right.
Most women cannot have them very easily. And most 18-year-olds...
don't.
Well, yeah, but it's maybe 55% or 60% or something like that. And the thing is as you get older, your vagina sort of loosens up a little, and the orgasms fall out more easily. That's the technical term.
Okay.
All right, well, here's all I'm saying. As you get older, more mature... Learn yourself a little better, become a little more comfortable in your own skin. This becomes easier.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't panic and freak out about it.
Yeah, for some women, you have to be in the relationship for quite some time with the same person, and
Okay, when you say that, my best friends, like one of them is 16 and one of them is like 15, and they both have, and they're just, like all over the place.
Well, that's gonna happen, and here's how cruel God is. Like, my best friend growing up was a guy who got laid the most out of any guy I've ever met, and certainly any guy in my high school. And I'd happen to be, you know, met him on the Pop Warner football field when I was 9, and ends up at 16. He's banging everyone in school, and I'm home trying to set masturbatory records using my own tears for lubricant. You know what I mean? Now, why did God put me with the guy who gets laid constantly? I don't know. It's not fair. That's my point. If you can't have orgasms, God will make your best friend miss orgasm 2003. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not fair that way. But
right.
That doesn't mean she's normal either. Most
right.
of the women that are your age are somewhere in between your friends and you. All right? You'll be fine. You just get a guy, fall in love, take it slow, don't get pregnant.
Right. Doesn't sound like you have any physiological abnormality,
yes.
Or we didn't ask about the whole psychological profile.
I can't scratch beneath every surface.
Okay.
See what I'm saying? We got to keep it moving here. You know what I mean? Brandon?
Yeah?
You're 16?
Yeah.
You went down on your girlfriend for the first time?
Yeah.
And her clitoris looked super long.
Yeah, it looked like it stuck out like about like 3 inches.
Mm-hmm. You sure that?
I was wondering if that was normal or.
That could have been a dude.
No.
Oh yes.
You no, I'm sure it was a chick.
No, you were looking at his balls.
Huh?
No. Sometimes the balls will the one nad will go one way, one will go the other, will form a vagina.
No, I'm sure.
I've gotten burned by that a couple of times.
Adam's trying to get you to pass out on
eight times only. Less than 10 times. A little over 10 times I've been burned that way.
There's a large variation in clitoral length, just like some people have a very long uvula at the back of their throat.
Yeah.
Some people have a very short.
I'm guessing yours
like the
is
uvula
mammoth.
Analogy.
Is yours mammoth?
What?
Put your tongue back in your mouth. How dare you?
I said, there's
sexual assault.
There's good radio, huh?
Yeah, it's great radio. Yeah. Sticking your tongue out at me.
Hey, there's a lot of variation in physiology, so that doesn't mean there's nothing abnormal about that.
All right, so I have nothing to worry about?
No, look.
As far as you being with a guy?
It's a bogus call.
No, this is totally serious.
Are you telling me she has a 3-inch clitoris?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure it's 3 inches. I haven't measured or anything. I mean,
this is like asking him how long his erection is.
Look, how long is your pinky?
My pinky? I don't know.
This is such a bogus call, you retard.
No, I am pinky. I was really worried about this. I don't know if she's like abnormal or has a disease or if I should not be with her anymore.
Okay, if this is a real call, this is one of these guys that speaks in a lying cadence and tone. You understand?
I'm from Colorado.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, so Brandon.
Yeah.
How long do you think your pinky is? And don't say my pinky.
I don't know, like an inch and a half, maybe.
Okay, so her clitoris is twice what your pinky is.
At least.
At least.
Yeah.
Okay, so her clitoris dwarfs your penis?
No, my pinky finger.
Yeah, right, I know, but your penis ain't. Okay.
My penis.
Hold on.
Oh, God.
He is saying that her clitoris is two of his pinkies at least.
Right.
Now,
do the math. This isn't even.
That's like a gecko's tongue. fully extended. Pick a gnat right off your forehead. Okay. Now look, either this is bogus or she was hung by her clitoris as a young girl.
Well, he may have been emotionally traumatized by the vision of this and overestimated its length. So, you know.
Brandon.
He says.
Right, one more try.
One more question.
One more try. Hold your pinky up like you're drinking tea the proper way.
Okay.
Okay. Now, you're saying her clitoris is... I don't know. I got a better idea. Now, then take your other pinky from your other hand and touch pinky tips and look at it like you're trying to form a retarded goalpost. What the... That is the length of her clitoris?
Well, not quite six inches? Maybe like my pinky and a half.
Oh, okay. So it's only 4 inches.
I don't know.
Okay, this is bogus.
Is it a braid or...
She never said anything about it?
No, I
but please, Brandon, please.
I mean, I was like, damn, that is huge. And she's like,
all right, please just admit. All right, okay. I'll see you in hell, all right? Dick.
Did he make some comment?
Would you shut up? Did I say this was bogus a half hour ago? And you're like, And you know the problem? You know, Brandon's diabolical. He sounds so bogus that it couldn't possibly be bogus.
Well, I knew that about halfway through the call, but you know, initially I gave him the benefit of the doubt. That
oh my God, these people are I swear to you that Brandon's cadence is so like wooden and stilted and transparent that I thought it couldn't possibly be bogus. It seems too bogus. He's like, what? My pinky? Okay. I was alarmed to find that her clitoris was not. It's like, oh my God. Jesus Christ, what a horrible
So what you're
actor.
Saying is, right.
Like, what happens when your stepmom walks in and says, you've been masturbating in here, Brandon? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that was a very poor bogus call. So you're saying
it was so bogus, it was believable.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. So Brandon should not have any pride in this call. Having wasted our time and not been entertaining.
Every time you guys make a bogus call, there's 15 to 20 junkies that OD waiting to get through to me. Do you understand? Only I can save their lives. So you just know that going to bed tonight.
Okay.
All right. Dr. Bruce in for Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew in Montreal doing the Olsen Twins movie. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce. Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew. Dr. Bruce, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. He's also emergency medicine specialist. Worked the as a emergency technician at the Raves for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Always found that interesting. And now does the laser work. Got himself a $1 million laser. Takes off tattoos.
Absolutely.
Age lines, wrinkles.
Hair,
birthmarks, whatever. He'll cure what ails you. And if you have any questions about what Dr. Bruce does, you can go to inkoninkoff.com. And let me tell you something about Bruce. He ain't in it for the money. God knows he ain't in it for the money. He's driving his sister's Camry. 130,000 miles on. I had to buy it from his sister.
I was visiting my dental sister up there.
What'd she sell that car?
She had
car?
Some words for you.
What is that, like a $4,500 car?
Business.
How much is that car worth? What'd you pay for that car? $5,000?
She gave it to me.
Oh, really? Well, felt sorry for you. That is pathetic.
It's a great car.
Yeah, sure, for free. For
well,
free,
you know,
a moped's great
through,
for free.
I went through my sports car phase, and not everybody can be an Adam Carolla and
yeah.
Go on through life indefinitely as a child playing with toys. Wait, you got married, wait till you have some kids. I'm going to come back.
I'm not going to have my sister give me a car in 20 years. How dare you? Not my sister. That's for goddamn sure.
Boy, your sister wouldn't give you a car. That's the bottom line. Or your sister. She's a lot nicer than you.
My sister?
Absolutely. You have the nicest family. Your dad, what a great guy.
Losers.
Uh-huh.
All right. Where are we? And listen, I can freely say anything about my family at any given time. Look, if I hosted the Academy Awards, I could yell my mom is a whore and my dad was a pussy. And I would be extremely confident that they would not see it. Have any problems with that.
I was wondering how you're going to qualify.
I can speak with impunity about that.
Yes. Can I borrow your Datsun next weekend, by the way? Just for the weekend?
No.
Okay.
Why? You have a date? What's up? What's going on with you? You're single now? Yeah. You dating?
No.
Okay.
Still buddies with my ex-wife.
Good man. Good man.
But no, my three-year-old, he wants a BMW already.
No? Nah, good. Tell him if he can be a doctor, and then one day his sister will give him a car. We're going to give him to be an attorney.
You want to go back to the sugar in my coffee?
Jessica? Like...
Yes. Yeah.
You're 20?
Hello?
What's
yes.
up? Yeah.
I'm 20, and my boyfriend is 30, and we've been together about 15 months now, and his dad died about 3 months ago, and I don't know how he's handling it. I mean, I know he's not handling it well, but I don't know... You know, like how to go about helping him through it.
Well, how is he not handling it well?
He never really wants to talk about it, and it's like he's he doesn't want to deal with it yet. He still can't like get over the fact that he's gone. And I mean, like he sleeps a lot more, he drinks a lot more, he gets angry a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And I've tried to get him to like talk to somebody about it, mm-hmm. but he doesn't want to seem to listen, and he's just like. He wants to deal with it in his own way, but I'm afraid it's, like, starting to take over.
Are you guys living together?
We used to, but not anymore. But I moved out before everything happened.
Why?
We just weren't really ready for it. We'd only been going out for maybe, like, 2 or 3 months before I moved in. And mm-hmm. I'd, like, moved out on my own for the first time, and I wasn't ready for it.
What's he do for a living?
He works for an auto parts store. He's an assistant manager.
Mm-hmm. So it's all going according to plan. What are you doing?
I work for a collection agency.
Uh-huh. Oh, man. Hold on, let me close my eyes and picture you two. Uh-oh. Oh, no. I'm seeing like a sofa on the porch.
Nah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Nope.
So
no
what was
sofa
his
re- on the porch.
What was his relationship like with his dad before he died, obviously?
He was really, really close with his dad. He was like his go-to guy, and they would talk at least once or twice a week about anything. And, yeah. I mean, he could tell his dad anything, and I think that's kind of what affects him more than anything, because he was a lot closer with his dad than he was with his mom.
And how long ago did this happen?
3 months?
Just about three and a half months ago.
Okay,
it was,
so...
the middle of May.
Now, what do you do when you try to steer somebody toward help, but they don't want to do it, especially when it's a guy and they got all that bravado and they're like, I'll deal with it my own way, and they don't end up dealing with it? I mean, maybe you just got to back off a little and give him some space, especially if he's not treating you right.
Yeah, absolutely. And if he's starting to drink, if he's starting to have some sort of maladaptive behaviors around the grief, and he's digging his heels in when you're suggesting he get help, there is nothing you can do, and you're going to have to back off, give him the space, and the consequences may, he may decide, you know, that he can't talk to anyone, and some people hang on to that kind of a grief and stay depressed or become more introverted.
I mean, listen, it's tough when you're in love with somebody, and it's tough to see them go through that pain, and you got to try to help. But you can't, you know, get him in a full Nelson and drag him to the shrink's office. And especially a 20-year-old woman with a 30-year-old guy. I mean, most of the reason, besides perky boobs, that guys date younger chicks is so they don't really have to actually converse with them or listen to them or deal with them. You know, 30-year-old guy is not going to listen to 20-year-old tell them what to do. Especially when it has to do with the, you know, emotional situations like this. So, I don't know. Give him a try and then give him some space. And then eventually, if he doesn't get it together, you can go ahead and dump him.
Right. Well, you don't.
Thank you. Yeah. Autumn?
Yes.
You're 18?
Yes, I am.
Your ex-boyfriend emailed you to have a threesome with his new girlfriend?
Yeah.
Wow. Did he dump you?
Well, we kind of like never broke up. We never even really went out. But like I slept with him. Like, I went to Europe this summer, and so I came back, and he never emailed me at all or talked
to me. No, wait a second. You slept with him and then went to Europe?
Well, we'd been together for, like, a month or so.
And then you went to Europe?
Yeah.
And then you came home,
and never heard anything from him, like, called him. He never called me back. Okay. I saw him, like, once at his work.
All right, see, he was, you know, just screwing around with you, and now he just thinks you're, you know, party favor.
Want
to swing a little bit.
He didn't even, like, call me. He just emailed me. He's like, I know this sounds weird, but do you want to have a threesome with my new girlfriend? I'm like, what? What are you talking about?
All right.
Why does that seem out of line with the type of picture you set up for him of who you are?
Well, I don't know. Like, we seemed like we were fine when we were, like together. For the month that we were there, like, I don't know. I never thought it was really going anywhere significant or anything.
Well, all right, so did he break your heart a little bit?
Well, no, not, I mean, it didn't break my heart or anything, but...
No, I mean the fact that you thought you were in a relationship and he didn't think he was in a relationship.
Yeah, I guess. It's just...
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, your feelings are hurt. Okay, well, here's the situation. You don't want to have the threesome, you don't have to have the threesome. You're going to have to provide someone to take your place, though. I mean, that's an automatic. I think that goes without saying. And she has to be either equal hotness or hotter than you, okay? But other than that formality, you don't have to do it yourself. And then secondly, I think you just kind of need to admit to yourself that you were into this guy. He seemed like he dumped you a little bit. Your feelings are a little bit hurt. And next time, you just have to sort of choose your guys a little better. I don't think this guy's a great guy. And be a little more realistic with the situation.
Okay.
Yeah, without getting on the moral milk box or bandwagon, whatever it is, when you're sexually involved with somebody outside of an intimate relationship, it's just fraught with a lot of complications. And, you know, it's always said that the woman is going to get hurt, but both parties get hurt. And when you start having sex,
the woman gets hurt more than the guy.
Right, right.
Okay, but and here's the other thing, too. I'm glad Bruce brought this up, which is we attempt, and especially now, I think back in the, you know, 50 years ago, people didn't pretend like they could do this, but women do now, especially younger women. They pretend like they can have a physical relationship with a guy and not get sucked in, drawn in, emotionally drawn into the relationship. Mm-hmm. And look, a guy will have sex with you with no strings attached for as long as you're willing to do it, oftentimes. There's plenty of guys that are that way, most guys, especially if you're not the right woman for them. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be Mrs. Right. You have to be Mrs. sort of 51%. Right. They'll do you for a couple of years, no problem. So the women think they can do that. They've been reading all that crappy Vogue and Cosmo and all these other ass rags, and they've been watching Sex and the City, and they think they can get away with it. Well, the guy's up front. He tells me he's not ready for a relationship, but that's cool because I'm not ready. I don't want anything either because I'm pretty busy with school and work. So we just get together a couple times a week. We get on, then we go our separate ways. That never works.
No.
You find out the guy's dating someone else or banging someone else, and you
crushed,
flip out.
Right.
You're crushed. Yeah, you can't fool yourself. You can at the beginning, but ultimately, a woman's having a physical relationship with a guy she's in, whether she wants to admit it or not. So, listen, ladies, don't kid yourself. You can't do that.
Well, this brings up the threesome, the curse of the threesome. Anybody in a relationship that has a threesome, it spells the end of that relationship.
Yeah. All right.
Which, you agree?
Yeah. Well, look, if somebody wants to have a threesome or agrees to have a threesome, it usually means they're not taking the relationship too seriously.
Right.
I mean, if you think you're deeply in love and you're going to get married, you're not thinking about a threesome.
No.
People who have threesomes, usually the guys, they want a threesome because they want a threesome, and the girls want to unknowingly sabotage a relationship so they can start some strife and get out. Okay. We're going to take a quick break. Bruce always looks, he looks his most confused when he's agreeing with me, ironically. He's always, he's giving this look like, I think he's right. I think he's right. He may be right, but now I'm confused because he's right.
It's shock. It's not confusion.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, buddy. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce. Anderson, how come we don't hear any music coming back from break these days? Oh, there it is. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Consistency. That's the hallmark of the show.
Could you tell me that in the beginning of the show so I know? No wonder I was so loud earlier. I was yelling over the music.
Oh, really? No. Oh, you didn't know that. I just figured you were hearing it on your end. And
no, I would never do that to you. I had a great Metallica song, and I was into it, and I screamed to go, and then it made no sense. Okay.
Well, we've been hearing a little bit of music, just not that much. Listen, here's the beauty of radio. We got another show tomorrow night, and then the night after that, we're going to do one, too. So that's all right. It's kind of, we'll work the bugs out.
I'm surprised you didn't say, got another show tomorrow night, and Anderson won't be here.
No, Anderson does a fine
job.
Oh,
I love
care what anyone
He's
says.
Great guy.
All right. We're going to
have anal sex, and I passed out a couple times. I don't know why I like Anderson, because he always plays that stupid clip.
Nothing stupid about the truth. All right, Dr. Bruce. You know him as Dr. Spaz, a lovable Dr. Spaz, filling in for Dr. Drew. Board certified, addiction medicine specialist, same as Drew, but also qualified in the delicate art of emergency medicine, and also does the tattoo removal with the lasers, does the wrinkle removal. You want any information about that, you just go to inkoninkoff.com and find out about how to get them tats removed. Cheap, easy, painless. Here's the thing. Bruce was telling me off the air that even if you don't have a tattoo that needs to be removed, he would like to start a program where he provides a 12-pack and a tattoo artist where he gets people tattoos of, ex-girlfriends' names, things to say like Quaalude and stuff on it. And then, LAPD suck their F, and all that. And then you come in and mop up with your laser. Your magical laser.
I'm not denying anything.
Monique?
Yeah?
You're 18?
Yes.
What's up?
I am called, the horniest girl, and yet when I have sex, it's not even pleasurable.
Hmm. And where's your dad?
My dad is in another state.
Mm-hmm. Which state's that?
California.
Okay. When's the last time you saw him?
A few months ago.
Do you love him?
Yeah, totally.
Okay, so good. Always had a good relationship with biologic dad.
Oh, yeah.
So no abuse issues, no major emotional traumas, no therapy that you're working on right now.
No abandonment issues.
Right.
All right. What are you doing out in Reno at 18?
College.
Really? Mm-hmm. What college is over there?
UNR, University of Nevada.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a medical school there, too, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah, great medical school. For many people, and I don't know what the relationships were like because you've had some sexual experiences, but for some people, sex, unless it's a really committed, intimate relationship that's been in place for some time, it's been going on successfully for some time, even though they are very sexual and appropriately sexual, they don't enjoy the sex. And sometimes it's because of your belief system or... You know, it is normal to not enjoy sex if you're not in the right relationship with the right level of intimacy. So yeah. I'm not sure what your situation is in that realm.
All right, but let me ask this. Is it, I guess it's possible, but it's not, you don't hear about it too much. But could it be that she's sort of biologically horny? She's revved up. She's got a good libido, but she's with guys that she's not really feeling the connection with, so therefore the physical encounter
isn't great. Oh, absolutely. Then the sex would be very unrewarding.
Do you think that, who are you with? You got a boyfriend right now?
No.
Have you been with a guy that you're really in love with?
No.
No?
No.
Well, that's kind of your answer. That's the thing.
So it's been sex as a recreational sport.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I think you need to find a guy that you're really into.
Yeah, but I don't want to wait. Like, that's my problem. Is like,
you know, sex is not a recreational sport.
Yes. Dr. Bruce.
Thanks, Andrew.
All right, so, listen, Monique.
Yeah?
I mean, that's kind of the answer. You're not going to enjoy a one-night stand. It's not really in your biology.
Okay.
Are you disappointed?
Yeah, sorry,
Definitely.
Toots. Well, I know you feel like you'd like to be, and maybe some of your friends claim they are, but most women really just don't get off on that. I mean, some do, but that's just not you. That's fine. I know it feels like that's you, but I think we've proven that's not you. So just find a guy, have a good relationship.
For some people, it's a healthy boundaries thing. If you have very healthy boundaries and something internally tells you that this is something that's almost a breach of these boundaries or breaking down of boundaries when you're sexual with somebody before there is that intimacy. That's actually quite healthy.
Yeah.
And there's some studies have been done which show that women that are easily sexually conquered, there are a lot of insecurity issues, a lot of emotional issues, and some of the questions you were asking about relationship with dad apply to women like that. So,
all right.
I'd say Monique's doing.
Yeah, it's fine. Good times. It's good. It's good times. Good times. Ben?
Yo.
You're 25?
Yes, I am.
You like to go down on your girlfriend, but your neck gets sore?
That's about it.
Yeah.
I can do about, that... 10, 15 minutes, and then after that, the next day, I'm ruined.
Yeah, it can be tough on a guy, especially there's something about bending your head back like that and then sticking your tongue out. So it's like, if you think about, if you just remove the thighs and vagina and you did physically what you do when you go down on a woman for about 30 seconds, you'd probably vomit and pass out. I mean, it's difficult. I mean, look, here's what I'm saying. Watch this, Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
Do the thing where you hold your fingers like just like a little peace sign and then put it up in front. Listen, you faggot, away from me. What are you doing? How dare you?
Great radio.
No, but I mean, if you're like lying on your belly and your head's up like that and you're going, and you're doing it for like 45 seconds, you want to kill yourself. Now imagine doing it for like 18 or 20 minutes. It's horrible. I'd rather just go to the bottom of the deep end of the pool, and just stay there for 18 minutes.
You could have a stroke like that. You block some of those arteries up there.
All right. Listen, Ben.
Yo.
Here's what you need to do. You need to break it down every once in a while. Like, you know what boxers do when they enter the ring, They shake that head around. They shake their hands out. You need to pull your head out every once in a while. Do that thing where you go around this way, around the other way, and then back in for action. Your old lady will understand. And look, go ahead and, move a little furniture around, put a pillow on the floor, get your knees comfortable.
Yeah, turn on a little talk radio.
What's up with the pillow? I've heard something about that.
Oh, yeah. Well, put the pillow under her butt so you're not so low.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe like
Engineer
pillows.
Michelle says yes. Yeah, it's better. She's been on both ends of that tongue. putting that pillow up in a butt, much better way to go.
I'm surprised you don't have like a website that would, you know, have sort of visual aids for these calls.
Yeah, you know me, I'm nuts with those websites.
What happened to Boobville?
I got email. I got to answer email every night.
Absolutely.
Please. Yeah, right. I don't have. People are always like, it's great though, because you know now everyone always with me, they're like, yeah, what's your email address? I can send it. I'm like, yeah, I don't have one.
Yeah, right. You know, I asked you, and you know, I just send it to Lynette.
Yeah.
You don't even tell me your email.
I don't have one.
Yeah, right.
I don't. I wouldn't check it if I did. I don't know what it is. If people think you're blowing them off. Here's the whole thing. I don't want to communicate via the computer with people.
Right.
I just don't. And I understand there's important, pertinent stuff they can give me, but it's a small price to pay. It's like, look, here's what I do. I go to bed at night. I shut the ringer off of my phone. And everyone says, hey, what if there's an emergency?
Yeah,
what if your dad goes into a coma or something? It's 5 a.m. I'm like, all right, well, I'll figure it out at 11 when I get up. And they're like, yeah, but what if there's an emergency? I go, look, here's the deal. You got to make this decision in life. My dad probably only will go into a coma once in his life, all right? But the amount of retarded phone calls that I'll get at 5 a.m. wake me up, that'll number into the hundreds, right. Maybe thousands. So there you go.
No,
there's your scale.
Yeah.
One coma, thousands of jackoffs calling me at 5:30 a.m.
Right.
What do you do?
Yeah.
Shut the ringer. All right. Same with the email. Lindsay?
Yeah.
You're 15?
Yeah.
All right. So Ben needs to put that pillow under the butt. I think that's going to help. All right. What's up? Let's see. You want to have sex with your boyfriend?
Well, I was raped when I was around 8 by a friend's dad. And, like, I've known people who were raped, and, like, they're total sluts now. And I've been wanting sex, and I don't know if it's because of that.
Well, let's hold on a second.
I go to Christian school.
So. You do? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the thing. Your friend's dad raped you. Did he ever get into any kind of trouble with the police?
Yeah, he's in jail.
Oh, good.
Him. Good, we like
fantastic. Okay, so you told somebody about this.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's good. That's a good sign. And then you got some counseling and some help for it?
I probably quit when I was about 10.
The counseling?
Yeah. I didn't really like talking about it.
I understand, but the point is after being a victim of crime this way, it didn't just get swept under the rug.
Mm.
Okay, so that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So you are, and you sound kind of reasonably put together for someone who's been through what you've been through, and you're 15. A lot of 15-year-olds are horny. I mean, raped or not. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You're curious.
Yeah, I've been in a Christian school since second grade, so it's like all my friends there are totally different from my other friends, and they're all goody, and they're all serious, just like I swear. And, you know, it's kind of weird because I didn't think I'd ever want sex, especially from being in a Christian school. So being around that.
Well, listen, let me tell you what I figured out growing up, which is girls go from, oh, my God, put a penis in my mouth, disgusting, I would never do that, to I got to get some cornholing in before the weekend.
Yeah. But
yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Well.
That was Bruce saying that.
Yeah, right.
Sure. But look, yeah, that's it's becoming, you know, becoming a mature young woman.
But you're 15, and with the with what happened to you at the age of 8, even though you went to therapy for a couple of years, when you start becoming sexually active, you're going to have just a flood of emotions come through, many of which will be very difficult to deal with. And sex for you is going to be a lot more, it's going to be a traumatic thing rather than something that maybe as some of your other friends get older and start to do and just pass it off as, you know, well, it's just something to do for fun. This is a very different thing. And it's really something where you want to be abstinent enough for the what you'd call goody-goody reasons, but because you're really not ready, even though you're having these strong feelings. A lot of these strong feelings are coming through because of the trauma that happened, the bad thing that happened to you being raped at age 8. So,
it's not the
usual. Yeah, you translate for me, Adam.
Well, and you tell me if you think this is right, which is, you know, your average 15-year-old girl may or may not be ready to have sex, but if you've been sort of, it's sort of like,
okay,
now quiet down. I got to make an analogy here, which is, It's like saying, well, I'm 15. I want to go out for the football team. I'm a young male. And but then someone says, no, you got a horrible injury. You've had a horrible accident when you're 8 years old. You cannot go out for the football team. You're going to have to wait until you're 18 or 20, when your bones get a little bit stronger before you can do that. The average guy who wasn't in an accident, that's fine. You can't. You've been through this horrible trauma. And that's kind of what we're saying with Lindsay. And it wouldn't hurt every 15-year-old chick to hold off until she was 18, but especially Lindsay.
Right. When it's all almost like when you have this abuse occur, when you're prematurely sexualized like that, it's like a short circuit occurs in your brain, in the wiring, and she's going to have much stronger impulses to have sex that are based on this thing that happened to her than her friends are. It's just a totally different situation.
All right.
So it could be a devastating event when she starts having sex, and it could create a whole...
Yeah, well, here's the whole thing, too. It could start a slide. It could be a domino that gets knocked over and takes out the whole domino town. So, hold off.
Back to therapy.
Yeah, that couldn't hurt either.
As soon as possible.
Ashley?
Yeah.
I hope that guy's getting raped in prison, by the way.
Yeah, like the priest that got...
Yeah, what happened? Well, he got killed, right?
Yeah.
What happened? Oh, he raped a whole bunch of...
He
raped like 150 boys.
Yeah.
And then he went into prison, and then...
He was strangled.
Yeah. And now here's my question. Does anyone have any big problem with that? I kind of like it.
They had Bruce was on one of the news shows, and she was like, he got what he deserved. But I've heard very few people with that sort of...
Well, people don't do that, but listen... You know, an eye for an eye. I mean, if you're a religious person, as I'm guessing he was man of the cloth the whole time he was raping, 9-year-old boys, and he got like 100 and something of them. And now he's being killed because of all the horrible things he does. Like, he must have thought as the life was being choked out of him.
Oh.
Ironically, yeah, there's a God because I'm being killed.
Yeah. God, I mean, there
no
has
problem
to
with that. Yeah. Zero problem. And look, this up. No, glad. It's the only thing that makes me think there's a God. It's like when I hear about guys raping 150 guys and then living their life out in a leisure world playing golf in Palm Springs, I think now no God.
Yeah.
And look, and
that's
that whole
sort of an Old Testament eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth.
Then that whole part about, well, don't worry, they're going to hell. Not enough for me. I'd like him to die early, go to hell early. Express ticket to hell. And the other thing too that's I like is the guy who this other religious fanatic guy has just been put to death. I think it was today.
Oh,
the guy was the guy shot the abortion doctor and then shot the guy's bodyguard.
Right, and he said he has no regrets. And he can't wait to meet his maker.
As a bodyguard getting shot, your last thoughts are like, if I live, I'm fired. You must.
Well, the guy was unarmed.
The bodyguard.
Yeah. So this,
what kind of bodyguard is this?
I don't know. It's very strange.
Okay, but the point is this religious nut job shoots the bodyguard, shoots the doctor. Now he got put to death today, I guess, and he can't wait to be put to death. And I don't blame him, because if you think you're going to heaven and you think you're going to arrive like MacArthur returning to the Philippines, you know, it's like, hey, everybody, you're like God's there and St. Peter, and everyone's like, hey, look who's here. This guy snuffed out an abortion doctor. All right, ticker tape parade. Send him right down Main Street.
Well, somebody just published a book on the similarities between the religious zealots that either kill others in the name of their God. And it's not limited to people of the Islam or Muslim faith. It's definitely the Christians.
They've really made it into an art form over the last few years. Yeah. They're nut jobs. Here's all I want. Here's all I want. We're going to the next call.
Yeah.
Here's what I would like the media to do. I would like the media to proclaim these guys as nut jobs.
Right.
As the Shiite Muslims who blow up the buses, as the fanatical guys who set themselves on fire to protest things, as the guys who are the born again guys who shoot the abortion doctors. As the media, don't just call them religious. Don't just call them, you know, reverends or clergy.
They're
call them nut jobs.
Right. And so, as far as Shiites, I have friends that are Shiite, and they're just wonderful people.
They're great.
And
they're beautiful. They're wonderful. They're the warmest.
The Shiite is
you've
not
ever
synonymous.
Had a time to head out to Iraq and spend some real time with a Shiite family, find the warmest people in the world. Like, when I have kids, I will insist on only Shiite babysitters.
No, but Shiite is not synonymous with...
I leave town, I went to Shiites watching my dog and watering the lawn.
Right.
The only people that can be trusted are the Shiites. Everyone else is ass. Go ahead.
They're
warm and a wonderful person.
No, it's just like they're crazy Christians will murder in the name of God. And the majority of Shiites are not of that sect that are that extreme.
So it's like 40% maybe.
No, it's not.
35-40%. No. It's only a couple hundred million people. Okay. I'm just saying, please, when you say that Father so-and-so or Reverend so-and-so or Pastor so-and-so was put down via lethal injection. So call him a nut job. Call him religious nut job. Okay. And by the way, really the lethal injection for a guy who's really dying, isn't this every dream of his just come true? He kills an abortion doctor. Now he gets a nice, safe, humane, calming death, and now he gets to hang out with his maker. He's to play racquetball with God, and he's number one. He's in the catbird seat up there because he killed an abortion doctor. Why don't we put this guy to death with, like, red ants and molasses or something? And by the way, if you want to be put to death, you shouldn't be put to death. You want to be put to death? Now, that's it. Now you're going to solitary. You're going to go to the tank for about 60 years or whenever you die.
Well, you know, and when you hear the families of kids
to the hole, Reverend.
Well, that's why a lot of people argue against the death penalty. They say it is a more brutal justice when someone has to live out their life in prison.
Here's what I want. I want whatever you don't want.
Right.
I want to be in charge of that.
Right.
I want to do this. Like, look, you've murdered somebody. We want to do to you what you least want done to you.
Yeah.
And for some people, that can mean going home to their family.
Yeah.
I mean, for Drew, it'd be going home to his wife.
No, did you read the preface in his book?
It would.
Or the thank yous?
Oh, he's got to thank his wife or she'll kill
him. Coming home to the...
please.
It's an idyllic existence.
I never read that, but I'm sure he kissed some serious ass.
I just love to argue with you about Drew's
idyllic. Did he really write... Did he kiss his wife ass in the book, right? Coming home to? Why do you think that guy's always on the road, by the way? He can't get out of that house fast enough. I talked to Drew. I was like... it's 12:30. The show's over. Yeah, I'm gonna just do. I'm gonna do circles around the block in my car until I run out of gas. Really, you don't want to go home to the wife and the kids? I just feel like driving in circles.
Yeah,
I go counterclockwise
for
several thousand miles. And
right.
No. Okay, please. Yeah, and he goes right to bed when he gets home too, like a puss. No TiVo, no masturbation, no booze, no nothing. Pow, right in the bed. What a life. Okay. Sucker, I tell you.
Okay.
We'll take a quick break. Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew.
Quite nicely.
That's right. We'll be right back. Hey, yo. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce. Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew. Doing an admirable job, too. Solid. Solid, Bruce. You guys, if you want your tats removed or something done with that laser, it really doesn't take much to get Bruce over to your house. It really doesn't. You can just check out inkoninkoff.com. That is Bruce's website. Yeah. He's got to pay for that laser.
And we'll be at your house next month, by the way.
Yeah. That laser's, what, $100,000?
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to pay.
But that's the hair laser.
Got to make payments on that laser.
Oh, buddy. Absolutely. Wouldn't miss one of those payments.
That's right.
I'd be
a co-sign for that goddamn thing.
Oh.
That's all right. Let the kids know the truth.
It's no problem. It is the truth. You're a comedian, though, so that would be a funny
Yeah, well, look, no problem. Just make your payments, would you? Everybody, use that laser. Bruce got to make the payments, otherwise I'm going to be the proud owner of a laser. I'm going to be using that... I use that laser to, like, carve my initials in the bottom of my skateboard or something, $100,000 laser. Ashley?
You had to have laser on your faggoty self, as you said.
Oh, come on, Drew.
What is that? Where's that out of context?
Ashley is 20. Dr. Marcel, Dr. Bruce's arch enemy, will be in here tomorrow night.
Okay.
You don't like Dr. Marcel because he's a plastic surgeon and he takes your place on the show. But
no, I was actually going to refer him a patient. And we're down in Tattoo, Outer Limits Tattoo Shop in Orange County. He's good friends with the owner. So I was asking her, hey, get me his number.
Well, Dr. Marcel, good people. And tomorrow night we'll make the thing mostly about plastic surgery.
Oh, he's a great guy, actually.
Knows his business, too. I will say that. Ashley?
Yeah.
So you're 20. What's up?
My boyfriend is going to be graduating from his training in the military in about 3 weeks, and he's been gone for 6 weeks so far, and I'll get to see him for a weekend, and we're planning on having sex, but I'm going to be on my period, so I was wondering if there was, like, a medical or herb I can take to, like, postpone it or make it happen early or...
Yeah.
2 weeks?
He's coming in 2 weeks?
3 weeks.
He's coming in 3 weeks. But what about monkeying with the pill if you're not on the pill? Are you on the pill?
No, I'm not. I don't really, like, I mean, I've only had sex twice, and it's been with him, and it was right before he left, and then I'm only going to see him for a weekend, and then he's going to be in Florida doing some more training, so it's kind of pointless for me to get on it.
Yeah, right. I understand that, but what if, Bruce, she takes the pill, even though she's not on the pill? Can she take the pill and postpone her period? Is there something she can do now? I mean, I know there are ways of altering that.
Yeah, you can monkey with your period. You could cause it to occur earlier.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
But I don't know, 3 weeks, I mean, it's a little...
What? Can you get on? Can she get on? What if she got on something tomorrow?
Yeah, she could have her period before then.
She could.
So that she wouldn't be having that. You have to go to your doctor. You don't just go to the pharmacy and say, hey, I want
to... How does she induce that period? Jump up and down? How does she do that?
Well, you need to go to your doctor and talk about it.
Okay.
Well, you don't know. Bruce doesn't know?
No, you can change. No, you can change the cycle by taking
the pill.
Right,
starting like tomorrow.
Okay.
And then you would get off the pill in like 2 weeks and induce the period. Is that how it works?
No, you can initiate the period rather quickly with
Bruce. Then,
what?
No, tell her what to do. She's got to see her doctor anyway. You shake it, but go ahead.
You're taking a larger dose of the oral contraceptive, and you're manipulating the hormone. What happens is you have your FSH and LH, and as you build tissue in your uterus, and it sluts at the end of the...
Boring.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so, look, she's going to have to go to her doctor.
Right.
She's going to have to get on the pill. She's going to have to take a larger dose than she would normally take.
Right.
And then stop taking it, and that would induce the period?
Right. If he's
okay.
Well, I
just
mean,
start agreeing with me.
I've not had that.
Of me actually being able to do this is like pretty much next to none because I don't have insurance and I can't really afford to pay for a doctor's visit.
All right.
So,
go to family planning and talk to them.
Okay. And then
what if you just like shove like a coonskin cap up there or something? Like something just to mop it up a little bit.
Okay.
And by the way, if he's a real man, I mean, he's in the military, what branch is he in?
Navy?
Navy man don't pull the plug. Marine, he'd get into that. The blood wouldn't scare a Marine. And neither wouldn't scare a ground pounder either. But those Navy guys, I'm not sure. What training is he doing?
Air flight.
Is he a pilot?
He wants to be.
He wants to be a pilot. Did he go to college?
A bit? Yeah, he didn't finish, so he went to the military instead.
Okay. All right. So if you can't go to a doctor and there's nothing you can do about it, do you know of anything other than that? I think the answer is no.
No. She's in California. She's not going to be able to just walk in and get the morning after.
But she's in Oregon, goofball.
I said, she's in Oregon. Well, all right. I think that matters. It's not going
to
work there.
How about going down to a Planned Parenthood place and throwing yourself at the mercy of the militant lesbians who run those places?
Yeah, I mean, it's
places.
Free clinics. And when it comes to birth control, that's usually...
I know. But there's a free clinic. You just go down there, you get in line. Everyone's pissed off.
But I mean something like family planning. It doesn't have to be exactly the same, but something where they give you free birth control.
Okay. Let's talk to... But that's the only way to either...
Induce a period.
Right?
As far as I know.
Okay.
It has to be done hormonal.
Okay. Tabitha?
Yes?
You're 18?
Uh-huh.
What's up?
Okay.
you kept talking about how, like, girls need to stop fooling themselves and, like, be really into a guy when they have sex, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't true for me because I fooled around and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I decided that I should stop and have something meaningful. And when I did, it kind of just blew up in my face.
You got burned.
Yeah, really bad.
Yeah, so, but here's what I was saying. You can hook up, you can fool around, but if you get into a situation where you're consistently having sex with the same guy over a course of time, months, sometimes even years, you will get drawn into the relationship. I'm not talking about having a couple of wine coolers and giving some guy named Brett a handy, ranchero that's parked in your friend's lawn. I'm talking about a consistent sort of booty call. The booty call kind of thing doesn't really work for women. They like the guy. They're hoping secretly that this is going to turn into a full-time relationship, and that's why they go along with it.
Yeah, but then sometimes I do that, and so I decided to stop, taking your advice and just commit myself to one person, and I did that, and I thought it would be better, and then he ended up just...
Okay, but wait a second. Sometimes what you're talking about the symptoms and not the problem itself. Seeking out a lot of superficial relationships, sometimes there are real underlying problems with intimacy. You're avoiding intimacy. You're just going after these superficial relationships based on sex, and then you're listening to somebody's advice about the behavior, the symptom, and the underlying problem is something else. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Okay.
Nobody knows what you're saying. You don't know what you're saying.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
She goes into a relationship with somebody where there's commitment before sex, and yet she has an issue with intimacy, and she's forcing herself into something that's doomed to failure beforehand.
Well,
because of the issues she has. So okay. I'm saying it's not whether or not
that
you
time avoid I wasn't listening. So to be honest, so maybe that made sense. But hold on, Tabitha, look, you're 18. You get in relationships, you get burned. Whatever, it happens. That's life. Don't try
like,
to.
I'm kind of like whatever now, but like
Let me just say this, everybody. No guarantees in relationships whatsoever, especially when you're 18. There's a couple of rules, though, that can... No guarantees in life.
Right.
There's no guarantees that you're not going to get in your car and have a 18-wheeler just run over your car. And in which case, you can have all the airbags and all the seatbelts in the world, and you're still going to be crushed. But it's still a good idea to put your seatbelt on. You're sort of playing the odds. That's all you can really do. And if you're an 18-year-old girl and you want a happy, fruitful relationship, you don't want to get used, you don't want to get burned, then you probably shouldn't put out too quick. And you shouldn't get in a relationship where you are putting out consistently and turning out just to be some sort of sex toy. And meanwhile, they're not committing to you. These are all recipes to get burned. No guarantees. You could get into a committed monogamous relationship and still get burned. Happens every day. I'm just giving you, I'm helping you play the odds. You know what this is? This is like one of those, it's like how you play blackjack. You go, look, when you're showing a three and the dealer's showing an eight, you should hit. You just should. That's the rule. You could get a king and the dealer could turn over a five and be completely wrong, but those are the rules.
Right, but this isn't an odds thing, and there is a right. There
it is
a right
an odds thing.
Well, you don't like to get into
it. What do you mean it is an odds thing?
You have to do the right
thing.
How
dare you, it's an odds thing.
There is being healthy. There is people that have had a lot of early trauma frequently.
Oh,
where does it come out?
Yeah.
No. It comes out in their inability to form appropriate attachment or healthy relationships where they're happy. And the situation with this gal is she's looking
You've
at...
You've lost interest in your own answer.
No,
it's... Okay, you don't care anymore. We're just trying to tell you how to avoid trouble, but again, no guarantees.
Right, but you got to do the right thing anyway. It's not that you say, well, the odds are that if I do this, probably... It's not up to the odds.
Listen, screwball, I'm making the example of we're going to tell you how to play a hand correctly,
right,
and increase your odds of success.
Right. Okay.
That does Agreed. Not mean the dealer ain't going to flip you a king.
Right. Okay.
It just means you have a better chance than not doing it this way.
Right.
Thank you and quiet. We'll be back. Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew. Dr. Marcel, the swinging plastic surgeon, will be in tomorrow night. Pinky rings, year-round tan, gold chain, whole bit.
Does he bring you pictures of his work? Or just the after?
No.
You don't want to see them before.
That would go against his Hippocratic oath. Please. Sometimes. He's coming in tomorrow night. So here's the thing. As cool a guy as Dr. Marcel is, he's really excellent plastic surgeon. And if you got calls and questions about plastic surgery, tomorrow's the night to do it. He really does know his way around a boob job and all that stuff. All right, let's get back to the phones and speak to Rob. Rob, you're 17. What's up?
All right, well, I got this problem. Like, me and my girlfriend's going off like 17 months, and she's never really horny. Ever.
Yeah. How old is she?
17.
All right. Well, that's her thing. A lot of chicks aren't horny at 17.
That sucks.
Yeah, it's rough. It's rough on your balls, too.
It is.
Do you have sex?
We did. Like, we've done it like maybe 7 times.
Mm.
And then...
It must have really rocked her world.
Oh, I know. I know. I'm pretty proud. and then we used to, like, mess around, like, kind of a lot. And then she said it started to hurt her.
Uh-huh.
So, like, I'm like, fine, go to the gynecologist, because it makes sense.
Yeah, mister.
And she went, and then he said, everything's perfectly working order.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, so what? Like, am I just really ugly? And then she's just like, no, I don't know what's wrong. And I'm like, well, that sucks.
You're fat.
Okay, listen, please, Drew. She ever been traumatized at all?
Never, no. Neither of us have.
Parents are good. Dad's a good guy. Good.
You know, whether or not you agree that sex is normal or okay when you're a teenager, which most of the time you're going to have some problems in the relationship when you're sexually active. Well, okay, wait a second. The problem is that when you're dating somebody when you're 16, 17, it usually lasts, what, all of a few weeks or months?
Yeah.
And that's pretty healthy because you want to date around, get to know different people.
Okay, so here's the thing, Rob.
This is probably over.
Yeah, it's over. Yeah. 17, year and a half, that's eternity for a 17-year-old.
I know.
She doesn't sound like she's all that into you, and you don't sound like you're all that into her.
Well, he's missing the...
You're missing the sex. And by the way, listen, ladies, you can't give a guy a little taste and then decide it's not for you and then stay with him. You will freak that guy out.
But there's never going to be a coordinated agreement. You know, there's going to be disagreements.
And move on.
All right.
Move on. He sounds angry. Just move on. Wait, you want line one or line four?
Four.
Oh, you do? All right. Hold on a second. Okay, Mark?
Yeah, how's it going, guys?
Good. You're 20. What's up?
I have this problem. I really think I masturbate too much.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's a problem or not. I mean, I do have a girlfriend. I do have sex and everything. But still, it doesn't seem enough. I always seem to have a hard-on. And, I mean, I can't walk around all day, like, for an hour with a hard-on. It just doesn't work for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, where do you work? You go to school?
I work full-time right now.
What do you do?
I work at a place called CDC. We supply 7-Eleven with everything they have except for magazines.
Mm-hmm.
Everything from milk to smokes.
Well, really? Nice. Yeah.
Mark, I
supply those guys with a half-decent attitude.
What's that?
Those evil guys working behind the counter.
We give those guys the stuff. And you know what? Let me tell you, they're a pain in the ass, too. I mean, you can't stand them. They got to be reminded every now and again. You know, you're just working in a 7-Eleven. It's not some huge store. Just settle down.
Yeah. I've noticed, especially in L.A., lots of horrible attitudes amongst all the behind all the counters.
You've gotten yourself in trouble with these comments before.
Who cares? All the gas station idiots, all those guys, just horrible, horrible foreigners. Oh, it's one reason, really one of the biggest reasons to leave L.A.
I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Can I help Mark now?
Yeah.
And the thing with Mark calling with a question about masturbation for you, it's like an alcoholic calling Budweiser. He's not going to get an objection.
Oh, but I'm one of those guys, too. That's the problem.
Well, here's the thing, Mark. Your balls can get on a roll, and if you're milking yourself 4 or 5 times a day, that'll just seem normal after a while.
Yeah,
you have to actually stop. Yeah, why don't you see if you can cut down to twice a day?
No. But what
it's reasonable for a 20-year-old.
I think it's become a problem. Like you said, you know, if you keep milking the balls, you know, it comes into like a regular occurrence, routine.
Yeah.
I mean, I've gotten into that routine, which is not a good thing.
No, right. I know. It's like that's just how I was when I was 20. It's like wake up, masturbate, brush my teeth, masturbate, take 3 steps, masturbate.
Okay.
It would just keep going. You know what I mean?
Mark,
you break the chain.
But it sounds like you're concerned about control. Do you have any other problems like drugs, drinking, where you feel like...
I think I got a drinking problem as well, yeah.
Okay, so some of these things can go together. Even, God forbid, masturbation or masturbating
a lot. It's an open book, this, Mark, though. You got to appreciate that.
Well, he's just a little...
All right, look, if you think you got a problem with drinking, how about checking out AA? And I bet as you start addressing your alcohol addiction, your masturbatory addiction will lighten up as well. Or you do that thing where you put that rubber band around your penis and you snap it each time you feel like masturbating.
No, that's not going to work.
I use those ones you use in your retainer. See those dental rubber bands?
Yeah, very good.
Those are
good
nice.
Radio, Adam, just like you tell me.
Every once in a while, the geek would yawn and that rubber band would go flying from his mouth.
Yeah, it's interesting. In addiction programs...
I bet you had a headset.
Listen, I went to a quack dentist when I was in seventh grade, and I had to wear it in college.
All right, I'm gonna paint you a picture of Dr. Bruce in 1977. What are you, 18 years old?
Yeah.
You're wearing now you got the bad salmon color members only jacket, huge mammoth Bernie from Room 222 hair, and the headset cutting a canyon through the. Through the huge hair and walking around with the spittle hanging from the lip, big thick glasses on. Oh yeah, big thing of books with a belt around it hung over your shoulder, wearing your funky bootleg topsiders made out of like vinyl. Disaster.
No, I went to high school in New York City. I would have been
a wreck.
I would have been murdered if I'd looked that way.
Bruce with the headset.
All right. You had your fun,
Sue.
Hello?
Headset and big hair, though. That's a horrible combination because it's like a training bra for your head.
God knows I wanted big hair, long hair, but mine starts growing like vertically.
I know, that's
upwards.
Why that headset was a disaster. You walk around looking like a Soviet cosmonaut with that head that headset on.
There are no pictures, believe me. They're all destroyed.
Sue?
Yeah, hello.
You're 22. What's up?
Hey, Adam, my boyfriend's really excited. He wants me to tell you he loves the man show.
Oh, great.
Thanks for taking my call. This is a question mostly for Dr. Bruce about laser hair removal. I've had treatments monthly for about 6 months or so, and on the fifth treatment, I was burned pretty badly. Well, not horrible, horrible, but like, let's see, two big ones on my left armpit and like four smaller on the right, and I got in the bikini area too, a bunch of blisters. And I'm just wondering, is that normal? Because I went back and asked for compensation and she said, oh, it's normal, and I want to know if they'll heal.
What about it?
Well, do you have dark skin?
What
skin type?
It's not so dark. I have pretty good conditions for the operation. Dark hair and skin that's significantly lighter.
Yeah. It depends so much on the machine that's used. Typically, you don't want to get blistering, and that is one of the undesirable side effects of a laser hair removal treatment.
Uh-huh.
And commenting specifically on anyone's case on the radio without looking at something would be very ill-advised of me, but... You give these things some time, and as far as are you going to have a permanent scar or hyperpigmentation, that's something that you can't predict. And so as far as what you're getting at is this a...
Is that like a bad sunburn?
It can be...
It's worse. It got infected, and it was pretty infected, yeah.
All right, but then infection, the question... It's basically... Excuse me?
It seems to have subsided, the infection, and I'm just, this doctor.
All right, now look, what do you want?
Nothing, just to
All right. Well, listen, here's the deal. Bruce can't really diagnose this over the air.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it seems like the doctor does have some liability with this. Obviously, he's just going to tell you, don't worry about it, because he doesn't want to deal with it. I certainly think that you might, and I don't know if you want to do this. I don't know. I don't think you can sue the guy.
But a second opinion. See a dermatologist or a plastic surgeon, somebody that has a lot of experience with post-operative wound infections or complications.
What should you do if you get a laser, like hair removal, for instance, and the next day there's some
blistering?
Blistering. That, what should you do?
That's really fairly common.
You put ice on it?
You don't want to pick the blister. It's sort of like...
Should you relieve the blister?
No.
You don't want to lance it, drain it out?
A blister? No. A blister is like a second degree burn. It's right. What you get after a sunburn.
Right, so what do you do with that blister?
You just leave it.
And what do you put on it?
Nothing.
Put anything on it?
Nothing. During the procedure with hair removal, you do generate heat. And
my mom would say with a blister, you either should put PABA or have an Eskimo jack off on it. And I was always like, well, let's just try the PABA, first.
Okay, whenever you have a burn, you want to immediately put something cold on it.
You do.
You want to take the heat out. And when you're doing these procedures, you're using – some of these lasers have a roller that you put in the freezer, you take out and roll it over the skin as you're doing it.
Yeah.
Your laser, actually, we have that supplied. So, and some of them have actually an attachment that's sprays the skin and freezes it or cools it down as you're doing it. So heat is an unwanted byproduct of this.
We've heard enough.
Yeah, we've heard enough. So get a second opinion.
Second opinion.
She's calling in for a second opinion.
Put ice on it at the beginning and then no touch.
Yeah, it's sort of like bad radio, the opposite. I mean, I can't see this.
And don't let it, obviously, keep it out of the sun.
Well, this is way down the line. It's got
putting vitamin E on it or anything.
At this point, that's not
go to a dermatologist.
Right.
Okay. We're going to cut our losses. We'll be back.
Absolutely.
Well, that's it. That's the show. Another fantastic show with Dr. Bruce. Again, upgraded from 8.8 to a 9.
Whoa.
On a 1 to 500 scale.
Oh.
No, fantastic job, buddy.
Thank you, sir.
You're really improving.
Oh.
150 years from now, you'll be mediocre. God bless you, buddy.
Makes you look better.
Yeah, Dr. Marcel. Everyone makes me look better. That's what I love about people.
It's great.
Dr. Marcel in tomorrow night to handle all of your physical self-improvement questions. He is he's a plastic surgeon. He'll answer those questions. Dr. Bruce, God bless you, buddy. Dr. Drew. Coming back in next week. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Bruce saying mahalo.
You had your fun.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.